Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Brody should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Brody may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
The Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Brody. 10 to 2 on 670
The 9-year NFL veteran Clay Harbor
and Caleb Williams. If he doesn't improve in very basic ways, Ben Johnson's going to say, okay, you clearly can't get the job done. I got to see what else is over here.
We have seen Ben Johnson do it before at a high level.
We know he can.
Now he's got some different equipment. It's like Picasso, great painter. Guy couldn't draw. Can we give Picasso a paintbrush, or are we going to give him some crayons?
I know Picasso, but do you like it?
This is from 708. Picasso could absolutely draw. A recent AIC show displayed that talent. I expect more art historical accuracy from my local sportscasters. This isn't Milwaukee.
No comment on that.
And I missed the Art Institute Picasso show, and I was kind of bummed about that, but I'll get back there.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. It was pretty overrated.
See, he's trying to dispel the dumb jock stereotype one segment at a time.
What an artist.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Artists, indeed. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Brody on 670 The Score. And we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer helping out as well. You can text us, you can call us. We'll keep the lines open today just in case you need somebody. 312-644-6767 is the number. And we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, our Twitch mob is in effect today. They are up there early and they're using emotes so they can hang out with you. Our video producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And Mark Grody's here. Marshall Harris is here. And I, Layla Rahimi, also am here for the roll call. And we want to ask you the question. What aspect of the Bears game against the Lions needs to improve the most? Is it offense? Is it defense? Is it special teams? You can say all of the above, but that's kind of cheating. So I still say, even though we saw three aspects of the game that all need to improve, it's got to be the offense. It's got to be the drives in between the two touchdowns that they had to bookend the game on Monday night. That's what has to improve. It's the three and outs. Frankly, it's the accuracy of the passing. I know Caleb Williams said that he doesn't do that very often. The numbers speak differently. After that 10 of 10 start, he was 11 of 25. So that's the number that has to change. Keep the first drive energy the same. Like that was the real show of improvement from the offense. But that's still where I sit with this. The best way to outplay the Lions, in my opinion, even after what we saw them do against the Packers, where they only scored 13, is to outscore them. So that's my vote.
It's interesting that you gave the D all the above, the opt out, because here's why. Because if any of the three phases were better Monday night, I believe the Bears would have won. But my answer is offense, but it's a little more specific than just saying the offense. It's clear to me what has to be the biggest difference. That is the head coach, Ben Johnson. The first game mistakes that he made, whether you want to talk about the clock management, the challenge, not listening to the people you delegated to do certain jobs, the decision at the end with the kicking out of the end zone as opposed to out of bounds, the admission that you got lost in the sauce and the the moment was a little too big for maybe what you expected it to be in terms of the play calling and making sure that the run game was what it needed to be in the second half, and it was not, and it came up short. And then the drives you just mentioned, Layla, those drives between the scoring, that kind of sums up, well, was Ben Johnson paying enough detail to the offense in those moments, or was he concerned with other things under the head coaching guys? So to me, it's the offense, but specifically, Ben Johnson has to show great leap of improvement from game one to game two.
If Ben Johnson wants to be able to do what he wants to do in his offense, my answer is the running game. That's my specific thing. Has to get better. He took some responsibility for that, saying straight up that he has to call more running plays, that he has to give the ball maybe to more than just one running back in the game. Gave the ball to a receiver three times in DJ Moore. But quite frankly, I was a little astounded by that. You can't come into this season, and I know I don't want to go through the whole litany of what the Bears were trying to do in the draft. I am astounded that this coach, that this organization, which demands competent running backs and a competent running game, it just wasn't there. It's maybe not astounding. It's alarming because Ben Johnson can't do the things that he wants to do if he doesn't have the run game clicking. And there were times that it wasn't. It's not all on Ben Johnson. If it's not working, you got to go to different things. But that's the overall organizational part of this, that you did not have what it took to have a competent running game on opening night of the Ben Johnson era.
I think that I want to delve into that specifically a little bit more because it mirrors two principles that we have seen in practice patently not make sense for the Bears, Mark, when you consider, number one, the discussion from Ashton Jeanty in the draft and them wanting to trade up. He ultimately goes sixth. They knew he was going to go somewhere in the neighborhood of that because we all did. To then not drafting one until the seventh round. And I say that because those two statements and actions conflicted. That statement of we want to get somebody like that conflicted with what they actually did. We've brought it up in other ways, but I think this applies. And then the other thing is we heard all offseason long from the head coach, we want to run the ball more. My offense is predicated on the run. That showed in Detroit. They did that in Detroit. But that's not what happened in the game. So already in two ways, you've seen them talk about something they want to do, but it didn't show up in the practice. And that's where I see not only this conflict, I think, unfortunately, repeating itself in other parts of the season, but how are you going to fix both of those things?
Well, I think that's the thing where I'm looking at Ben Johnson. You're supposed to be the wonder kid as far as offensive play calling and figuring things out. And we know that it's a work in progress. We know it's going to take time. But if the basic principle of your offense is being able to be a top-tier running offense to set up the play action and have your quarterback do fantastic and wonderful things, he's going to have such detail himself in-game with the adjustments. And I think that's where the slippage was in game one. And I do think he's now hyper-focusing on that for game two. So the reason I listed what I listed as far as Ben Johnson, him needing to be the one to take the step forward as a head coach and not just as an offensive play caller, is because he now has self-identified. He's not lacking self-awareness. He told us after the game what the problem was and what he needed to be better at. He can't control all the other things to the degree that he can control his own decisions and his own ability to adjust, whether it's against a defense, whether it's how much he wants to run, how much he wants to pass, and who he needs to be placing where to make those things happen in the right way.
I guess one bit of somewhat good news, or one way to fix it, one way to have trust in more than just one running back, is that Roschon Johnson was out there practicing yesterday when I was at Halas Hall. He was limited, so I have no idea, right? We will find out in a few hours. The final injury report will come out, and we could get a designation and get a better idea if Roschon is going to be good to go. But that would be huge. That would be huge because we know that he understands all of the assignments. He understands the blocking assignments. He's obviously very good in those short yardage spots where DeAndre Swift does not always thrive. So he might have more trust. And we'll get to this a little bit later on. I did have a really good talk with Kyle Manungai in the locker room. Look, the trust is not quite there yet with Manungai. I'm not saying it won't get there. I think it will get there because getting to know him a little bit, he's an earnest worker who doesn't want to put bad stuff on tape. tape, like very worried about that. But that's when he answered the question. When he was being transparent about the running game, he was asked specifically about Kyle Manungai not getting a run, and that's when he said, I got to call more run plays. So I think it's going to look different, and I think like you have to, schematically, you have to be open to changing things to put your running backs and your blockers in better position, and hopefully Ben will do that.
Our segment on Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody talking about what aspect of the Bears game do you want to see improve the most against the Lions is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think the other thing, too, is it goes hand in hand. If you're calling more run plays, you know what the number becomes instead of 11-25 after 10 of 10? It becomes maybe 11 of 20 after 10 of 10. That percentage, as far as the vaunted 70% completion rate, you get closer to if that's the case. You know, that's part of this for me, too, is it's going to cover up a lot of other sins. The problem is, and Clay Harbor pointed this out with us yesterday, I don't know that they had enough downfield blocking even, and downhill blocking out of the line of scrimmage. And then I don't necessarily know that they got what they wanted even as much if there was a run play, like were people blocking ahead of their running backs in a way that they saw fit.
My biggest thing is the personnel issue of this. You just mentioned Roschon Johnson being back out there in a limited fashion. 773 on the text line points out all. I'm surprised they haven't picked up a running back this week. Can I mention that Swift's signature move is a fake cut and get tackled with no forward progress? It seems like his running style is not fitting the lack of what we've seen so far, ability, the offensive line, to create these gaping holes that you dream about. And honestly, you watch other teams play football on Thursday or Sunday or Monday, and you're like, dang, you start getting football envy. Like, I don't ever see that with the Bears offense. But my thing with to answer the texter is, it is early. So that's why I'm giving Ben Johnson the grace of being a second game head coach here, Mark, and understanding that it should get better, and I expect it to, because I do ultimately have confidence in Ben Johnson, even if I don't have confidence in their stubbornness with personnel at running back.
Dan, I'll give DeAndre Swift some grace, too. I mean, he is what he is. He's what he was when they brought DeAndre Swift to the team. So he does what he does, and it is incumbent upon the Bears to fill the spaces with the things that he's not as good at. So, like, I get it. Everybody wants to rip DeAndre Swift, but it's not all on him. And I did, like, when they seemed to have some organization, unfortunately, it was the drive where Caleb Williams has the intentional grounding leading to the 50-yard missed field goal by Cairo Santos. DeAndre Swift was excellent on that drive. I think that's where he had his 13-yarder. He had a 9-yarder. He had that plow for 5 yards where he's carrying guys, which goes against what everybody is saying about him, that he doesn't have that toughness and to be able the ability to run between the tackles. So for one glimmering moment on that drive, you did have organization. You did have Ben Johnson. You did have running game. It just, unfortunately, it fell flat in the end. So I'm not ready to, like, you know, go out and get somebody to replace DeAndre Swift at this point, unless there's like a big name that you guys could sell me on.
No,
but just getting somebody off the streets or off somebody else's practice squad, I'm not down with that yet, because look, the Bears were thinking bigger. They were thinking Ashton Jeanty. They were thinking Travion Henderson. So they know there needs to be an upgrade, but they're not talking about practice squad upgrades. They're talking about real upgrades, which probably won't be until next year.
Yeah, except they weren't thinking anything else after those things. Like, it looks like, and I understand Manungai was on their board. That's not a discredit to him.
He's a seventh rounder.
It's
so,
just,
yeah.
You have to have counters when you know other people are going to do other things. And Ryan Pohl said it. He wants to stick to his board, and I disagree with his board. So that's how I felt about it.
Why do you hate his board?
But look at the third round history there. Let's just start with that. But I think when you're considering what they wanted to do, they clearly didn't want to get somebody off of the street in free agency.
No.
You know, we talked even about the possibility of Nick Chubb, and that didn't happen.
Right.
And I feel like what we have seen in Ben Johnson's offense is a complementary back scheme, and that's not what they have right now. That doesn't take away from what DeAndre Swift does. One of the things Eric Bieniemy talked about when he first got here was wanting to see him hit the holes in the middle of the offensive line harder. Like, that was something he wanted to see, that downhill run that we talked about, the burst. And we did see some angry runs out of DeAndre Swift, to use the NFL Network term. We saw him drag a couple guys. We saw him finish. But additionally, when we saw that, you know, we didn't see it enough. Like, that wasn't by design. That wasn't something that I think got enough yards per play. That's the other issue. You got to see more out of the offensive line, even with the personnel improvement. They were playing an amazingly good front in Minnesota that was 50% improved. And I would say that in doing so, Brian Flores' crew got remarkably better up front, and they already were good. So what's the answer to that against a Detroit team that has Aiden Hutchins?
Well, I'll ask you this. Have you given up on that interior of the Bears' offensive line? Because I still think they're pretty awesome.
After 1 week?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think the interior of the Bears' offensive line is a problem.
That's why I was talking about the front that they faced.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan Allen's no slouch.
Right.
I think that could end up being a top five defensive front in football, if we're being honest about what that team, the Vikings, could end up being by the end of the season. Again, the question is, what aspect of the Bears game do you need to see improve the most against the Lions as we continue the conversation just a couple of days away from game day here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody? And I'm telling y'all, we're all in some sort of alignment here and that we're all talking about the offense. It's just interesting that it's different components of the offense. I really do believe, and one of the reasons I say Ben Johnson on this is because I think he has the most control over what actually happens because he gets to make decisions up top. Everybody else is kind of just doing what Ben Johnson is telling him to do. And
how much do you think that Dennis Allen factors into that, though, defensively, for example? I think he's probably got more say than relative to the defense.
Than Ben Johnson? Yeah.
Perhaps in the input, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the way we've been describing the way this team has been set up, Ben Johnson, offensive play caller, Ben Johnson, CEO and head coach, versus Dennis Allen, head coach of the defense. I think that's 100% accurate. Although now I think Ben Johnson, because of what happened with special teams specifically, may be a little bit more involved than he had originally planned to be when you talk about what Richard Hightower's unit's been doing.
Oh, you mean just ask a guy if he can do it, even though you're the coach and you should also know whether or not that guy can, I don't know, boot a ball into the end zone?
You should be able to trust your special teams coordinator when he asks, hey, can he do that? Because he's supposed to have had that conversation
also,
with Kyler
Santos. What's practice for exactly? Yeah. Like what?
What was the point of practice?
Yeah,
you know, I was just thinking we're having Adam Hogue from Hogan. He's going to come on later.
Hogie or Hog? I'm not sure how to say it.
I'm still just getting to know Adam, but he was a special teams coach at the high school. I don't know if he's still doing it.
Oh, for Mount Carmel,
right?
He's
got pretty good insight on special teams and Richard Hightower, so we could ask him about that later here on this Football Friday. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers.
Yeah, we actually have a day titled for the couple days before game day on the Score.
Oh, the Football Friday thing?
Yes.
With the sponsor
and
everything?
It's a whole day. A
couple of sponsors. Okay, I see it. It's on my sheet.
It's a holiday. We also have Cubs baseball, by the way, at 12:45 today. Big series against the Rays, especially with Anthony Rizzo Day coming up on Saturday.
My heart.
Yeah. Oh, Grody's heart. Grody's 2016 heart.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to that because Dave has a doctor's appointment. And, you know, we don't postpone Dave's
doctor's
appointment.
What's wrong with Dave?
No, he's all good. Just regular checkup.
But he's just a baby.
He's just a baby, right.
Yeah, that's what you got to do when it's a baby.
Almost 10 years old, but he's just a
pediatrician vet?
He's just a baby.
What's that?
Pediatrician vet, then?
It would be a pediatrician veterinarian. Yes. Thanks for asking.
I didn't know vets were scheduling appearances on appointments on Saturdays.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised too. I was very pleased to hear that they would take me on a Saturday.
What?
Yeah.
The Score's favorite fluff ball.
Oh, man. Yes, he is just a big fluffy Dave. He's a really good Dave, though.
You know who's...
Except he scratched up my face yesterday.
Is that why you're taking him?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, that... Yeah.
Dave got crazy?
Well, I was laying on the couch, and I was throwing around this little bird he likes me to throw on, and then he just ran over my face.
A real bird.
Yeah, not a real bird.
He's like a running back.
Yeah, let birds into the place.
He just ran over your face.
He ran over my face. Claws out.
Marshawn Lynch.
So, got a few little cuts on my face today.
That seems like a good play-by-play call, Robbie. Runs over your face.
DTC.
Speaking of running backs running over people's faces, Mark Grody had a good conversation with both the running backs yesterday at Hollis Hall. If Ben Johnson wants to run the ball more, what do they say? We'll get to it next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on this.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Manon guy? Yeah, I need to call more runs. You know, we probably were at, what, under 20 for called runs for the game. And so I need to call more so that we get him in the game a little bit more. But he that's something that Evie and I have talked about, just making sure he has more carries going forward. Manungai?
That's Ben Johnson. I don't know who the second Manungai was. Who was that, Robbie?
Oh, that was just a drop.
Right. Who Manungai? Was it? Oh, that is Ben Johnson.
That is
also Ben Johnson. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason we bring up Manungai is because
Manungai?
He didn't get a carry in the Bears game against the Lions. And when Ben Johnson said what you just heard about him wanting to call more runs, he needs to be a part of it. It doesn't need to just be DeAndre Swift. As we mentioned in the last segment, when you're talking about what you want to see improve the most, having the complimentary running back scheme that the Lions ran with Sonic and Knuckles, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, you want to see that echoed on the other side by the Bears offense. Is it going to be the same? No. Can they at least try? Yes.
They can try. I'm not optimistic about the running game being this windfall of total yardage through the running backs, maybe with Caleb Williams scrambling for, I don't know, 40, 50 yards. That's like a strong possibility every week, especially if the offensive line and the receivers look like they did last week. But I will say this, Kyle Manungai got in there. He did get his first NFL catch. I feel like he got acclimated to NFL life. And I know, Mark, what your conversations have been with guys over the course of the season, maybe we forget where they are,
yeah,
and expect too much out of rookies, especially ones that didn't practice every single day leading up to game one.
Right, and I wanted to get some perspective with him, and I saw him by his locker. We had a really good talk, and we started with the fact that he did not get any carries in the Monday night game.
Were you surprised that you didn't get any carries in the game?
I think I went into the game not expecting any role in particular. And when I say any role, I mean like I didn't have an expectation of I'm going to get this beforehand or anything. Coming off an injury, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, I was just coming into the game like I'm going to help the team win however, you know, way I can. And however many times I'm on the field, I'm going to try and do the best of what I can. So obviously, as a running back, we love to get the ball. But like I said, I didn't come in with any expectation of an amount of carries or anything, and I was just trying to help the team win anyway.
How do you feel right now in terms of the way your blocking abilities are developing or have developed?
Mm-hmm. I think like anything in every part of my game, I got some work to do. I'm always trying to improve and be better. I think blocking specifically, I think there's obviously places I can improve on because it's something I do take pride in, so it's not putting bad film out there. It's like something I take personally. So, this is the best of the best, and I got to be able to block the best.
You've been going back to your college days. Is that a trust that you have to earn with the coach and maybe even the quarterback when it comes to blocking?
Yeah. I think both. You hit it on the nail, like quarterback and the coaching staff. They got to trust you to be able to put you in positions to do that, and then the quarterback has to trust that you're going to block that guy that's screaming free, trying to take his head off. So the quarterback trusts you. He can be more comfortable on his drive, get the ball out, deliver it where it needs to go. And like I said, the staff trusts you to do it, then you'll be in more situations to seize that opportunity.
I mean, he sounds like a guy who is, if I can quote myself.
Do it.
Yeah, I said to you guys when we first started doing the show together, I said, I'm right where I'm supposed to be with you guys. It sounds like Kyle Manungai, that was his attitude. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's healthy. He got out there. He got a little taste. But you could tell he was genuinely not put off by the fact that they didn't give him the ball more. He wants the football, of course. I think he gets it right now.
I think that's a good thing to say to make it make sense for you. But as somebody observing from the outside, I don't necessarily agree with that, especially after the run he got in training camp of how much they talked about him. What's funny is, who was the main ball carrier focus given to, I think, against the Chiefs? I feel like it was Britton Brown. You know, so for me, like, one of those two, I know that sounds crazy, but I want one of those two, if Roshon Johnson isn't available, to be part of this in a way that makes it make sense. DeAndre Swift had 17 carries, unfortunately only 3 yards per, and that's where I think the issue lies. So how does Kyle Menangai get into the mix in a way that's productive? And I know he needs to say that because that's the right thing to say for him. But
do you think he's pissed, really, is what you're saying?
Okay. I want to say I need to see more out of him because
I gotcha.
And it's not him. I'm saying I want to see more plays called for him.
I think the heavy lifting in that interview you did with him is the fact that I'm coming off injury. I think, wasn't that part of the, I'm trying to remember. Isn't that why he didn't play against the Chiefs? Wasn't he hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, when you say Britton Brown, that's right. The next guy up. He's the next guy on the practice squad right now with no Roshon Johnson, who would be up. But I think he's saying exactly the right thing, and I don't think it's from his vantage point, yeah, he is where he's supposed to be at. No, I think from a Ben Johnson and a coaching standpoint and an Eric Bieniemy standpoint, he did what he was supposed to do. He got one target. It'd be different if he had one target, dropped the target. He did everything that he was supposed to do reasonably well, being it was his first NFL game. You could talk about the blocking not being perfect, but what rookie running back is perfect at blocking in NFL game number one? I don't know of any.
I'm not even complaining about his blocking. I didn't see anything glaring about it that stuck out to me from Monday. Did you guys?
No. I'm saying I thought he played very well. And again, this has nothing to do with Kyle Menangai, the player. It has to do with Ben Johnson and the coaching staff utilizing people.
Rookie seventh rounder. Let's keep that in perspective. You don't just throw a rookie. We need the Bears needed more from their running game. But to think that a rookie seventh rounder who had been injured is just going to come in and just take off and get key carries in a game is probably not being realistic. But that does lead to the conversation of, why aren't there better running backs in the building, which we discussed in the first segment. But that's another conversation.
It's a tentacle. For me, it's that
you know, you trust, you gave trust at least in your dress rehearsal to another guy, so you've got him capable if you need him, Britton Brown. It's there's an answer between giving him 20 carries and giving him zero. That's my whole point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is jarring. I mean, to have zero carries and a receiver gets 3 carries over the running back. Yes, it's worth pointing out, and that's why we're talking about
it. I'm sure it happens, but I just don't remember games in which only one running back got a carry on a football team.
I would venture to say probably a Matt Nagy game, if we're thinking Bears-wise. Yeah. I would venture to say that. But even then, it was still Khalil Herbert and why can't I think of his name right now?
Montgomery?
No. Cohen, yeah, or it was
Tariq Cohen,
or it was Dave Montgomery.
What about thanks?
Don't worry about thanks.
But even that, but like, did one of them get 4 carries or something the entire game? Like Matt Nagy, straight from the running game. I have to look it up, but
no,
I'm just saying like a carry.
Like it's jarring to look at a box score at the end of the game and be like, oh, you were the only running back that got a carry. That's wild.
Yeah, to your point too about him kind of trying to tell me that, hey man, I was injured, just happy to be here. Sort of what Braxton Jones told me after that last preseason game when I presented it to him, that the coaching staff is basically saying nobody is good enough. And I was like, are they trying to push you, to motivate you? And he accepted all that, but at the same time he was like, I'm recovering from a pretty nasty injury.
It
still
shakes the context.
He
right?
broke a whole ankle.
Yeah, like, it shakes the context.
That's the seriousness.
Yes. So
of
he's
that.
Like, I'll play your game. Yes, the coach is doing the right. He's right. Nobody has gone out and won this position, but he's like, I really had a nasty injury.
He's still ramping up, still getting back. And again, I liked what Braxton Jones did on Monday compared to maybe my expectations for what he would do.
This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score, talking about the Bears running back situation. Do we have time to play the cut from DeAndre Swift that you talked to him about? Do you think we do? Guys,
we do.
Producers?
Yep.
Producers vote yes.
I have decided we have time. This was with a group of reporters, and DeAndre Swift was being pretty real about what went wrong with the running game.
For sure. I just feel like we need to play cleaner ball offensively to get more calls in general. You know what I mean? We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with pre-snap stuff. We can't expect to win like that.
What's your assessment of maybe what wasn't working with the run game early?
Hats off to them. They did a good job up front doing different things. Flores did a good job up front. That's what I would say. Especially first half, it was kind of muddy up front. Tried to take what they was giving us, which really wasn't much. You know what I mean? Them type of games, you got to play clean. You know what I mean?
I like the emphasis on what we talked about, which is what, the four pre-snap penalties that led to a total of 127 yards and over the 12 penalties for the game. And he hammered that. He was like, listen, every time you do that, you're taking away an opportunity maybe for us to even be in a running situation, because now the down and distance has changed so dramatically.
And he said that more. I mean, that's 30 seconds of maybe 3 or 4 minutes with DeAndre Swift. He mentioned it a couple more times about the pre-snap stuff. I think he was kind of pissed off about the pre-snap stuff, and that's about as worked up as you're going to get DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he said it wasn't acceptable and how it led to not great outcomes. That all makes sense. I, you know, we don't need to repeat that because we know it to be true. It's just what was the next step in making the play work? We talk all the time about how pre-snap is the most crucial part of the entire operation, but that being such a drawback, they still had other plays that didn't have pre-snap penalties. So what happened there?
No doubt. And look, we saw this all of last year. We saw it, like, where's DeAndre Swift? Oh, there's DeAndre Swift. And he would flash and he would pop. And like, again, they know this running back. Ben Johnson knows exactly what he can get out of DeAndre Swift. It's just the rest of the running backs for him that needs to compensate.
Well, and I actually think that for as much as we do talk about the front office decisions, he was still the second best running back free agent outside of Saquon Barkley.
Well,
like, no matter how you look at
it. And most people were happy, honestly. No, like,
yes.
The majority of people who have microphones and typewriters, whatever we want to call those, they were pretty happy.
Keyboards?
What?
Typewriters. Clickety click, 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 the click.
You mean computers?
Printing presses?
I don't know.
Computers?
I don't know. Yeah, computers.
The telegraph. Whatever you need. I want to remind people, this Sunday, join the Score in Circa Sports.
There's a baseball game going on at Wrigley Field today, ladies and gentlemen.
At Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox. That's in St. Charles. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, Mully. They will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Detroit. The postgame show, that will be streamed exclusively on YouTube and Twitch due to the Cubs game. That's this Sunday on Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Shorty McFadden leading off for the Cubs today.
I love old-timey. I love old-timey Grody.
Yeah, old-timey names like that. Those real names, Shorty McFadden. Here's Buster Johnson playing center field today.
Also, we did miss an opportunity to not nickname Matt Boyd Matt Oil Can Boyd.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
We did.
All right, Daddy Gang.
No.
That, we need to play that more often.
Oil Can Boy, the lanky reliever for the Boston Red Sox and for the Chicago Cubs.
All right, Bears. Gang.
Yes.
I'm not saying the other word, as you know. We have to address what happened on the defensive side of the ball as well. The coordinator spoke yesterday, but it wasn't necessarily in the way you might have thought. We'll hear from Dennis Allen and talk more Bears with you, Raheemi and Harris, with Mark Grody on the Score.
Layla, go ahead.
No.
Call me.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So to make your life more complicated, this is now Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody.
Hey, how's it going?
Layla Raheemi, Marshall Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
over the middle. It's caught for a touchdown. Jefferson.
McCarthy.
Pass is caught. Spinning grab by Aaron Jones. McCarthy keeps. He's got it. And forces his way into the end zone. Touchdown.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring that up again. J.J. McCarthy, the Nazareth product, doing what he did in a positive way for his Minnesota Vikings, leading the comeback. He ended up with 143 yards, two touchdowns, and that pick six interception to Nashawn Wright. This is Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Brody on 670 The Score. And we asked the question at the top of our 10 o'clock hour, what aspect of the Bears game do you need to see improve the most this Sunday against the Lions? I don't blame a lot of people on our text line and people calling in saying defense, because, well, that also could have used a bit of fine-tuning. And the coordinators talked yesterday. Dennis Allen with a curious approach to the media when people want to ask him about what happened, especially being a former head coach. You trust his opinion. Why didn't he want to talk about Monday's game?
Yeah, and with all due respect to Dennis Allen, who is an excellent defensive coordinator, he deserves the respect. I know it wasn't a great run as a head coach, but he has been that, so he deserves all the respect in the world. But if we are going to have the opportunity for the first time to zero in on the defense with the person who runs the defense, we have to be able to ask questions about what happened. Trust me, nobody in that media room likes the fact that it's Thursday and we are just now getting to ask pointed questions about a wee want to move on as well, but it's impossible to, especially when, you know, Ben Johnson is responsible for the offense, and it's like, we got to get to those questions later in the week. So hopefully he'll understand that, and he, you know, he was smiling while he was talking about it and stuff like that, but that he's going to have to take those questions, period. So, yeah.
I just harken back to the days where after the game they used to bring the coordinators into the locker room while you were interviewing players. You would also take a break from the players and talk to the coordinators and what happened on that play, and then they'll tell you what it was supposed to be, and then what actually it was. And then now everybody has a greater understanding of the game of football in the context of what happened, as opposed to speculation, especially in the social media era. And in an era where everybody's got access to the All 22 and everybody's out here trying to give their spin on what they think it is. And people are like, oh, yeah, I agree with you. And I'd rather think I was right and be proven right by a guy who doesn't have as much knowledge as he says he does. Like, it's all out of pocket.
Oh, because let's face it, confident people will dominate that space. You can be wrong confidently and sometimes not even with a bad intention. And that's the message that is out there more so than maybe say your own. You know, unfortunately, there is truth. You're right, Marshall, to the point of if you don't control the narrative, somebody else will, even when it comes to what the play was supposed to be. You know, we saw even online this week, we saw like our guy Tim Jenkins go back and forth with Ryan Fitzpatrick as to the ball to DJ Moore that we've discussed a bit on this show. You know, that's a good example. And I feel like if that's the case, there's no better example than having coordinators perhaps speak earlier, especially if a guy like Dennis Allen doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like make it easier for him, too. Would it be easier for you to talk immediately after a game in a locker room?
And I don't necessarily need them to talk right after the game, because there's just so much that is going on. But maybe the next day, maybe
Monday.
Tuesday, you know, something like that. And I do remember, I think it was Ron Turner's second time as offensive coordinator with the Bears, just being able to stop him in the locker room, say, could I ask? Sure. Go ahead. Ask a few questions.
We're talking about like a 3-minute conversation. That's what people don't understand when they're like, oh, because they'll say media is always complaining about not getting access. It's like, no one's trying to do like a 60 minutes exposé here. You usually have like three or four questions to try to clarify something.
Right. We want to move on too. That's the whole thing.
More than 5 minutes with Ben Johnson after a game. I'm saying like maybe 10.
That'll change. I don't know
what
that was.
And then maybe a couple minutes with the coordinators after the game, because if they truly, I understand they truly want to move on. But this is the schedule that we're all in right now, so this is it.
Right.
There is a mantra on this show that was always said previously, the joke about momentum being tomorrow's starting pitcher. And I understand the one or zero binary concept there. I've always tended to disagree, because I think that when we say momentum in a way that we're describing it, it's usually the concept, of describing players knowing that they've taken an advantage in a game or knowing that they have a pattern that they've established game to game of expecting to know what they can do in the next time that they're up. That was the case in the game against the Vikings. And Dennis Allen did have a really good comment about momentum.
You know, I think sometimes we try to make this game a lot more complicated than it really is. You know, when momentum starts to swing in the opposite direction, rather than trying to do more, narrow your focus and just focus on the basic fundamentals of playing football. Get your eyes in the right spot. Do your job and do the things that you're supposed to do. And don't try to do too much. You know, and that's really what the focus is for four quarters, focus in on doing my job, all right, and trusting that the other 11 guys on the field are going to do their job, because on every single play we all have a job to do, all right, and if we trust that our teammates are going to do their job, and we do ours and we do it well, then we're going to have success.
Listen. I understand exactly what he's saying. I remember covering the Bengals back in the day. Remember Marvin Lewis and his mediocrity that just lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted?
Marvin Lewis and his mediocrity does also sound like a band, but we all know exactly what you're talking about.
He was going to get fired every year for 5 years.
Yes, and never got fired. Yeah. Well, I mean,
and then he became
fired.
A lot of people's interview for head coaches.
So yeah. He used to have his guys, and you see him everywhere all season long, do your job. That's all the shirt said. Just do your job, do your job, do your job. At the end of the day, the team that does their job the best walks away a winner. Do your job means don't make mistakes. Do your job means be responsible for your assignment and don't try to do too much. I think he's just echoing that sentiment here, Dennis Allen here.
Well, the 111th too. You know, it was criticized when Matt Nagy said take care of your 111th, but we've latched on again as a media crew, haven't we?
I mean, as long as everybody's doing their 111th, usually good things happen, but usually what happens is somebody or multiple people's not doing their 111th.
I don't speak in fractions, so...
Mark Rohde does not acknowledge fractions.
There's two things
I don't do. Fractions, and I don't talk about aprons in the NBA. I'm not ready to be that hipster. Sorry.
We're going to get you to the apron conversation because the apron is coming for you
dumb.
Whether or not you like it.
Yeah, I don't like that terminology.
It's much like politics.
I think people just think they're cool saying apron.
You
that's
can say you
think.
Don't do politics, but politics is going to do you.
Yeah, that's
you can say
true.
You don't do aprons. Aprons are going to do you.
Teach me, Marshall.
Words have not been spoken. We will go over all of that because I feel like a guy to do all of that with is Adam Hoge. Adam Hoge of CHGO, the Hoge and Johns podcast. He is coming up next with Raheemi and Harris and Mark Grody. A third of me is me.
No!
On the score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.